My father died of a heart attack. This is public record.
Public record also states that his body had been deceased for approximately 24 to 30 hours prior to being discovered.
Correct.
Annie was living at home during the time of your father's passing?
She was 21. 21-year-old women aren't home at all times of the day.
You said previously that your father passed away while both of you were at college.
In college. I meant in college.
So were you home or at college?
We were in college, but Annie was home that weekend for some reason.
What college did Annie attend?
University of Santa Barbara.
And this was the weekend of February 19th through February 21st?
My father passed away on February 20th, so that's correct.
Why did Annie choose that weekend to come home? Seems like an awful long trip to come home just for one weekend.
People miss home. And their families. What are you insinuating?
Your mother and father had divorced by this point in time.
Correct.
So your father was living alone in New York. Annie comes home, and during this brief window of time to visit family, after traveling from California, she actually is not home at all.
She had other reasons to come home besides our dad.
Such as?
Friends?
Boyfriends?
Maybe. I don't know everything my sister ever did.
But you've said repeatedly how close you were.
Do you have siblings?
No.
Well, you wouldn't understand.
So Annie comes home late on Friday night. Your father, as stated in the medical records, passed away on Saturday morning. Annie discovered the body on late Sunday evening?
Yes.
And your father, he had a history of heart complications?
Correct. He was not doing well. In fact, he had been looking forward to seeing Annie for quite some time to cheer him up.
Cheer him up? Had he been suffering from depression?
He missed his daughter.
Had he been suffering from depression?
He had a history of depression.
Do you know the root cause of his depression?
No. He didn't talk much about that.
Did his depression manifest in any ways you could recall?
He was a quiet man. Stoic.
Drinker?
He liked to drink. Yes.
Abusive?
No.
Never hit you?
No.
Never hit Annie?
No.
Never hit Annie.
I said no.
The divorce papers filed by your mother indicate that your father had been verbally and physically abusive to his oldest child.
I don't remember that.
Do you think your mother was lying?
No.
So do you believe that your father was abusive to Annie?
I don't know.
Well, if your mother wasn't lying, it's safe to assume that your father was abusive to Annie, correct?
If that's what the records show.
After the divorce, Annie rarely spent time with your father, correct?
Not as much time as she did with her mom, our mom.
Her flight history shows that this was the only time she ever flew to see her father.
That doesn't sound right.
Do you have any evidence indicating the contrary? To show that Annie had flown to see her father at a different point in time?
I'm sure I can find conflicting evidence.
Betsy, you don't think it's odd that the one time in her whole life that Annie flew home to see her father, he died?
That's a colossal accusation you're proposing, detective.
I'm simply stating the facts.
You're trying to trick me into saying something false. If this is how the rest of this interview is going to go, I would prefer to not be involved.
You are free to leave at any time, Miss Stewart. We can conduct the rest of our investigation without your participation if that's how you wish to proceed. Just know that your cooperation seems to be the only outlying factor in proving your sister's innocence.
Annie would never hurt my father. That's all I can tell you about that.
Depression runs in the family?
Yes.
Anxiety as well?
Yes.
Two things Annie has suffered from quite a great deal in her own life.
Hence family history.
I'd ask you to remain civil during this conversation, Miss Stewart, please.
Yes. Sorry.
Did you come home after hearing about your father's passing?
Yes, right away.
Did you stay home for an extended period of time?
About a week.
Our records show you flew back to Chicago approximately 2 weeks after arriving in New York.
Okay.
Did Annie stay home as well?
Yes.
Our records have Annie flying back into California 2 days after her father passed away.
Okay.
Why only 2 days?
You'd have to ask her.
What if I could?
It shattered her. She had a hard time processing it.
Was she present at your father's funeral?
No.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that louder? I asked if Annie was present at your father's funeral.
No, she was not.
And why didn't Annie stay for the funeral of her father?
Like I said, she was shattered. She didn't know how to cope, so she wanted to get away from it.
And it was shortly after this that Annie was arrested, correct?
Correct.
Driving while intoxicated?
I believe so.
After which she spent several weeks in a rehabilitation center?
Correct.
It was there that she wrote her first novel, correct? While she was staying in the rehab center?
Yes, it was therapeutic for her.
What was therapeutic for her?
Writing her story. It's how she was able to get through the sadness of losing her father. By writing.
Do you recall the first line of her first book?
We live in the twilight of old morality.
Great quote.
It's not hers.
She stole it?
From Updike.
Isn't that plagiarism?
Do you recall the second line of her first book?
No.
That's from Updike.
Good to know.
Do you normally only read the first lines of books?
I don't normally read.
You should check them out. Books.
Are you familiar with David Foster Wallace?
Infinite Jest.
Have you read it?
No.
Well, he references a story called This is Water, in which there are two young fish swimming along and they happen to meet an older fish swimming the other way, who nods at them and says, "Morning, boys, how's the water?" And the two young fish swim on for a bit, and then eventually one of them looks over and goes, "What the hell is water?"
Trippy.
What Wallace is saying is that this story illustrates that the point of the fish story is merely that the most obvious, important realities are often the ones that are the hardest to see and talk about.
How does that apply to Annie?
Easy. We run from the things we fear.
Well, I'm not scared of my sister.
I'm proposing that there was a side to Annie that you're having trouble acknowledging. Because she was your sister. Your older sister. And you loved her. And now you have been put in this awful situation, and there's nothing that can be scarier than having to admit that you know the monster.
My sister is not a monster.
Do I need to show the photos of the victims again?
My sister did not do that.
Can you prove that? Do you have documented evidence proving that Annie was not present at the crime scene on the night of December 31st, 2022? Betsy?
No. No. I can't prove that.
But you're trying to understand how this could have happened.
I can't help you. I can't understand. I still don't believe it's true. Unless she says she did it. I can't believe it.
We're going to find her eventually, Betsy. The more we know when we find her, the more we can help her out.
Well, I just want to help.
Is there anyone who may have helped her commit these crimes?
No. No, not that I know of.
She skinned their bodies and used them as window shades.
You don't know she did that.
We know what happened to them. And we know how sadistic someone would have to be to pull off those acts of brutal violence. Were there any signs from when she was a child that she might—
Absolutely not. No. None.
Did she enjoy violent movies? Violent books? Graphic novels?
Millions of people watch violence, and it doesn't mean they commit murder.
So Annie did enjoy watching violence when she was younger.
Everyone likes John Wick.
It's a great franchise.
It doesn't mean you're a serial killer, does it?
The more you can help us, the more we can help Annie, when we find her.
I'm trying to help you, but you're asking me things about a person I do not know. I only know my sister, who would never do something like this.
Document 10-23-83-1I. This was recorded on December 4th at 9:29 p.m.
4th?
Correct.
Wasn't the last message the first?
Correct.
Nothing the previous 2 days?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, you can... Steve?
She needed to know. She needed to know she could do it. She thought about all the people who had done it. The millions upon millions of people who had taken another life. She thought about what percentage of those people were men. 99% sounded accurate. Or maybe that's shortening it too much. People love a female killer. Men killing men is so blah, been there, done that. But a woman? A woman killer? Lady killer. A lady killing a lady. That's juicy. That gets the hair standing up. That gets a lot of things standing up. Picture it. She did. She pictured it all the time. Picture a war between women. Women charging through the battlefield, wielding swords and swinging axes, cutting off the skin of other women, the land filled with the blood of women, spilled by women, while the men waited inside, tending to their children. Children who would no doubt never see their mothers again. And if they did, it would not be their mother. Not the mother they knew before the war. Their eyes would be dimmer. Their hands would be shakier. Their speech would be stilted. But this was not that. This was fantasy. But her? She was real. People would wonder why. Why would someone murder someone so perfect? So shiny? The American dream. Turned into a nightmare. She looked at her calendar. Kids soccer on Monday, kids hockey on Tuesday, white wine Wednesday on, you can guess, Thursday? Thursday was open. That sweet, divine, open white cube on the kitchen calendar, untainted by the obligations of family. Open. Way her life used to be, before the ACL, and the husband, and the kids. Thursday was the day. Thursday would be the day she would feel alive by taking another life.
The quality of that recording could indicate a deteriorating mental state. Also, that was very dark.
Just a character in her book.
You don't find the similarities alarming?
Innocent until proven guilty.
I agree, but...
She has a lot of fans. Hardcore fans. You know that, right?
I'm sure you are correct.
I am correct. Look at her book sales. Maybe one of them became obsessed with her books, with Annie, all of it. Maybe they lost their mind and couldn't distinguish fact from fiction, reality versus insanity. Maybe this was them trying to get Annie's attention. By making her story become alive, have you considered that?
Tell me about Annie's real parents.
I don't know anything about Annie's real parents.
Did Annie?
No, not that I know of.
She never expressed any interest in finding them?
They found her.
When?
When she looked like she was going to be a tennis champion. Well, her father did.
So you do know about her parents?
No. Her father walked up to her once. During a tennis practice. And she told him never to contact her again. That was it. I don't know any other details about him, and Annie never spoke about it, so I didn't ask.
And what about her mother?
She passed away when Annie was very young.
Do you know how she passed away?
No, as far as I know, Annie doesn't either. Her records just indicate deceased.
Document 10-23-83-1J. This was recorded on December 8th at 2:37 p.m. Steve?
Hello. Hi, Betsy. Good. How are you? I was, until now. Betsy, I have to complete my story. Can you please respect my time? People are depending on me. I need to complete my story. I'll call you when I'm done, okay? Thank you, Betsy.
Would you like to take a break?
That was the last.
I imagine you tried calling her many times after that.
Yes.
Do you recall how long it was until you called her again?
Maybe three days later?
Four. And every other day after that.
I was worried.
Worried about what?
She didn't sound well. She was alone.
Did she stay in contact at all?
Once.
Through text?
Yes.
What did it say?
Don't you know all of this?
For verbal verification. Can you?
She said...
When was this?
December 13th, 2:22 a.m. Annie said, love you.
And no further communication after that. Betsy?
No, nothing else.
Did you ever contemplate driving up to Vermont to check on her?
Yes.
Why didn't you?
I reached out to her assistant to check on her, see if they had spoken at all. She said she was getting emails every day from her.
What were the emails about?
Her story. Chapters, long, sweeping chapters, chapter after chapter after chapter. Endless. The backstory of the protagonist. The crime. Her assistant said the story was approaching 1,500 pages by the end.
Did her assistant comment on the quality of the work?
Her assistant said it was the best thing she had ever read. She said she was working around the clock, transcribing all of Annie's thoughts, and that she had never heard anything so vivid, so real.
But they never spoke directly.
No, just email. So I knew I thought she was just staying productive. I never thought I was actually happy for her. Getting that much done. Her finest work.
I would like to play for you part of an interview Annie did several years ago, while she was on her press tour. Steve, can you play document 10-23-83-2A? This was recorded on October 11th. Steve?
You seem very adept at writing pulp fiction with characters that never slide into caricature. Are you aware of this? Do you go in thinking about the structure of the classical villains?
Well, most books, or entertainment rather, make the quote, bad guys wholly unlike you. You know, they turn them into cartoons, so then you feel superior to them. I always found it much more interesting if I could make you realize that there's part of the villain in all of us. That if you go through the history of time, the true evil we have encountered were, in fact, charismatic salesmen. If I can make you relate to the evil in my story, that means I've done my part as the writer, because now you are in the story. You are the story.
What do you think about her comments?
I think she's right. Likeable villains are what separate good from great. It gives the story weight. Let the audience decide who should live and decide. Life is much more ambiguous than we give it credit for. Annie understood that.
Document 10-23-83-1J. This was recorded on December 17th at 1:11 a.m. Steve?
Outside?
Her GPS indicates that she was walking through the woods.
Wasn't it freezing that late at night?
9 degrees.
That's it?
That's the last communication we have on file.
Nothing after that?
Correct.
What about Annie and her assistant?
Nothing. Her phone was off, computer was off. We have no verification of her location.
But didn't her agent or assistant try to communicate with her at some point?
No.
Never?
We have no verification of communication with Annie and the outside world after December 17th until December 31st.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Just her and her mind. I imagine it must have been a very lonely, dark, sad time for Annie. All the things that she had dealt with in her life, to spend that many days in isolation, and then to shut herself off completely? The thoughts must have been swimming through her head.
Heartbreaking.
We have audio of it, Betsy.
Audio of what?
The murders.
I don't understand.
Someone at the party was recording.
While it was happening?
That's right. We have the whole thing on tape. And we think you should listen to it.
No. No, no. No. I don't think I can handle that.
You're as close to this as anyone else. Nobody else can provide the perspective you can.
No. No. I can't. That's too much.
I'm not asking you.
What does that mean?
That means if you don't comply, you will be impeding our investigation. And some people might see that as an allegiance to your sister, who happens to be the only suspect in a nationally followed homicide case.
You're asking me to listen to people die. That's fucked up.
Could be worse. You could be the people who died, or the family of the people who died. Or the children of the people who...
Okay, I get your point. Jesus Christ! Sorry for not being excited to listen to people die!
Would you like to take a moment?
I'd like to speak to my sister.
We all would, Betsy.
How hard can she be to find? Doesn't the FBI have money and resources for moments like this? My sister isn't some assassin. She's not some spy. Find her.
We are trying to find her. But we need your help.
I'm trying to help.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Document 10-23-83-1K. This was recorded on December 31st at 11:53 p.m. Steve?
Wait. Just one second. Play it.
Sandra? Sandy?
Yeah?
There's a woman at your door.
Huh?
There's a woman at your door. Says she knows you.
Who is it?
She wouldn't say. Just says she knows you.
Okay. Bob, will you hold my...
Honey, who's here?
I don't know. I'm gonna go see. Bob! You're missing this.
Whoa! Look at those dance moves!
Woo! There we go, Martha!
Was that a moonwalk?
Zoom in.
Don't direct the director, Martha. I've been called the Spielberg of my law firm. Jules, take this so I can get in there.
Uh-oh, Bob's getting in the mix.
Woo, 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 woo!
You getting this?
The camera loves you, Bobby.
Oh my God. Miss, are you okay?
Where's Sandra? Sandy?
Oh my God!
Sandra? Sandra?
Oh my God!
Yeah.
911, what's your emergency?
Help. Please help. Help!
Ma'am, what is your emergency?
She killed me.
Ma'am, try to breathe. Talk to me. What is your location?
I don't know. A friend's house of my husband.
Ma'am, can you find your location?
No. No, I can't leave the room or she'll... Oh my god. Oh my god, she's coming up the stairs.
All right, ma'am. Stay calm. We are going to trace your call and then send a car up there.
Please hurry. Please. Please. Please.
Ma'am, just breathe, okay? Can you do that?
She's coming down the hall.
Just breathe, ma'am. I'm here with you, okay? Just breathe. We're gonna have someone there soon. Ma'am? Who's there? Who's... Ma'am? What was that?
Help! Please! Please help me! Help!
Ma'am? Hello? Ma'am? Hello? Ma'am? We're coming. Ma'am?
She's...
Ma'am, stay with me. Stay with me, ma'am. You back with me? We're on our way. We'll be there very soon, ma'am.
All we are is what we feel.
Ma'am. Hello? Ma'am?
Betsy? Betsy.
That was...
horrific.
Yes.
The police arrived at 12:26 a.m. The blizzard was so bad that night that they were unable to get there before the massacre. Nearly half an hour after the attack. Almost as if the killer knew. They knew that they had time. Time to kill and time to get away. Six people slaughtered. And the closest neighboring house was Annie's.
That doesn't prove anything.
The cops went to Annie's house the next morning, but she was gone. They said the inside of her house was chaotic. The entire house had been turned upside down. There was writing all over the walls. In a language that they did not understand. Shattered glass all on the walls, endless rows of paper torn and tossed in every room. Slices of meat. Raw animal meat splayed all around the kitchen floor.
Home invasion. Some lunatics must have broken into her house. And I don't want to say what they did to her.
The police dusted for fingerprints when they got to her house. The fingerprints they found in Annie's house matched the prints found at the crime scene. On all of the murder weapons. The multiple murder weapons that were used at the massacre.
So, they must have...
Must have what, Betsy?
Used her fingers to...
Used her fingers. On the murder weapons.
Yes, those maniacs cut off her fingers and smeared them on the weapons.
That's crazy, Betsy.
That's not as crazy as the suggestion that my sister is a killer.
Betsy, you're crazy.
Don't call me crazy.
But you're not making any sense.
Do not... call me crazy.
You're not making any sense.
Don't call me.
What are you hiding, Betsy?
Nothing.
Stop wasting my time.
You're wasting time in here with me when the killers are still out there.
When did the murders take place?
What?
When did the murders take place?
You said it.
Say the date.
New Year's Eve.
The murders took place on December 31st, 2022.
Right.
New Year's Eve. A time for celebration. A time for friends and family to get together and to celebrate the future. Toasting to a new year.
I know! That's awful!
When was the last known sighting of Annie?
On... You said it.
When was the last known sighting of Annie?
January 4th.
The last known sighting of Annie was on January 4th, 2023.
Right.
Correct.
Wait. Wait, but that doesn't make sense. I thought you said she disappeared.
On January 4th, Annie Singleton went to the Phelps Barn Pub, right here in Grafton, Vermont.
What? That doesn't
matter. At 9:30 a.m. on January 4th, Annie sat down, ordered a meal, and ate her food. Right there, in broad daylight, in front of 20 people.
I don't understand. I thought people were looking for her. How would she have been able to just stroll into a pub and order food when the entire police department and FBI were looking for her? How was she able to do that?
She wasn't. Annie was arrested. Right there. In Phelps Barn Pub on the morning of January 4th.
You arrested her?
The bartender saw her face on the news. Called the cops and they showed up 6 minutes later to arrest her for the murders of six people.
You're not making any sense. If you arrested her, where is she?
Steve?
No! Where is my sister?
I'll show you.
Detective, where is my sister?
You want to see your sister?
Yes, now.
I'll show you. Listen to the tape. Steve, document 1023-83-1L. This was recorded on January 4th, 2023 at 2:37 p.m. Today is January 4th, 2023.
Is that you?
My name is Vincent LaRusso. I am a detective with the Grafton, Vermont Police Department. Joining me is Annie Marie Singleton. Miss Singleton, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided to you. Miss Singleton, do you understand the rights presented to you today?
Yes.
Mrs. Singleton, do you wish to contact a lawyer to be present with you here today?
No.
Mrs. Singleton, do you know why you've been brought in for questioning today?
Yes.
Mrs. Singleton, you have been brought in for questioning regarding the murders of Julia Peck, Martha Russell, Bob Stanwyck, Sandra Stanwyck, Charles Peck, and Simon Russell. Do you understand, Mrs. Singleton?
Yes.
Do you confess to the murders of the people named?
No.
Mrs. Singleton, knowing that your fingerprints have been found on each of the respective weapons found at the scene of the crime, I'm going to ask you again. Do you confess to the murders of Julia Peck, Martha Russell, Bob Stanwyck, Sandra Stanwyck, Charles Peck, and Simon Russell?
This isn't Annie.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Singleton. Can you repeat that, please?
This isn't Annie.
I don't understand.
This is Betsy.
What is this? What are you doing?
Betsy, please. Just listen to the tape.
No, this is crazy. I don't understand what you're doing. What are you... Hey! Why am I handcuffed? What is this?
Steve.
No! Don't touch me! Don't you touch me!
Betsy, you're going to hurt yourself.
Get off of me! Get off of me!
It's all right, Betsy. We just want you to calm down. Listen to the tape. Please, Betsy. Just calm...
Get off of me! Get off of me! Where is my sister? Where is my sister?
Steve, sedatives.
Get off of me! Get off me!
Calm down. Breathe in and out. Breathe in and out.
Show me my sister.
We will. But you have to calm down, okay? Calm down, and we will show you your sister. Okay? Betsy, do we have a deal?
Yes.
Okay, Steve, press. You said your name was Betsy?
Yes.
Mrs. Singleton, what's your name?
Betsy Stewart. No. No.
Annie?
No.
Annie. We know you're in there.
No.
We understand, Annie. We understand why you did it.
No, please.
We know why you made up Betsy.
No.
But we need you to confess, no. Annie.
No. Stop.
Annie, we know you're in there.
No.
Annie, we need you to confess.
I am not Annie. I am not Annie.
Annie, stop.
I am not Annie.
Betsy, stop.
Show me my sister. Show me my sister. Show me my sister.
Stop hitting your head. You're going to hurt yourself.
Show me my sister or I'll kill you.
Steve, sedatives.
I'll kill you. 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 Kill you.
Let the record state that sedatives were necessitated to prevent the patient from injecting serious harm to themselves. Annie. Annie, please respond. Annie.
I'm not there.
You have been placed under solitary confinement in the Vermont Psychiatric Care Hospital. You have been here for 2 weeks, pretending to be someone you're not.
No.
You created an alter ego to cope with what you did.
No.
Yes, Annie. Yes. We know you're in there. We know you can hear us.
No. Please. I miss my sister. Please.
Listen, Annie. Listen to the sound of your voice.
I want my mom.
Listen to the sound of your voice.
Mommy? Mom.
Listen to the sound of your voice, Annie.
Please, no.
Steve?
No.
Your name is Betsy Stewart.
That's right.
How can I help you?
Betsy Stewart.
Technically, it's Elizabeth.
But nobody calls me that, except for my parents. But they've both passed away.
Everyone just calls me Betsy, or Bets.
Mrs. Stewart.
Mrs. Stewart?
Miss?
Miss Stewart. I'm not married. The patriarchy is bullshit. Pardon my French.
I've always been a feminist. That's why I got into teaching. Shape those young minds early.
You know? Let the little girls know that they can do anything.
I didn't have that growing up. My parents weren't exactly supportive, you know?
If you know what I mean? Especially to my older sister, Annie.
Annie. Talk to us.
This isn't Annie.
We know why you created her, Annie. We know that you're trying to escape the pain and the reality of what you did. But those families, the families of the victims, they will never have peace. Not until you confess to your crimes.
No, it's not.
Accept what you did.
No, I...
Admit who you are.
I...
Hello, Detective.
Annie? Oh my God! Steve!
I would. All we are is what we feel.
Seclusion, Part 2. Written by John Sachs. Starring Alexandra Gomez, Elena Delia, Christopher Feinstein, Frank Bonacci, and Deborah Bonacci. I'm Christopher Feinstein, and this is the Nightmare Collective.